The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting for your calls on any little thing you'd like to talk about your health. Perhaps you've had a problem, you've tried, you've applied, and you come up with the same old stuff, nothing that really worked. You know, just like the weather out there doesn't really work today. It's nice and cold, and, you know, it looks pretty, but it really isn't. Well, 888-630-9625, that's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. This is the first program of the year initiating our new program in office and in-house to kick it off. No one better than Dr. Gadget. Dr. Scott Lamp. Hi, Scott.
Good afternoon. And I thought that little stutter step, were you freezing your lips there? Is there something going on?
Well, you know, we come inside and it's like 18 degrees outside. And the wind is kind of just blowing gently but not hard. It's cold out there.
It's very cold.
This is stuff I grew up with in Western New York State. I left because of this.
Yeah.
You know, I try to get down here to warm things up.
That's good. Do a good job of it.
This is not okay. No, seriously, though, it's a beautiful day outside. If you don't have to go out and walk around, but if you do go out, make sure you're covered. You've got your head covered, your neck covered, your hands covered, and, you know, keep warm because it's not, and if you have any kind of health problems that would be aggravated and provoked by increased stress in your body, this is a stressful condition. I'm being very serious at this point. Be careful today.
And I think also one of the things, since we're talking about the subject of knees and hips, icing conditions, if you have those things, be very, very cautious because it's one of those type of things you can easily aggravate in this kind of conditions. Know your limitations.
And just walking guardedly sometimes can do that. The subject that we're talking about today is knee and hip and knee pain, and it'll be the presentation that Dr. Scott will do this Wednesday evening, the 10th at 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. Love to have you join us, and all you have to do to make that happen is go online to rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com, rozellecare.com, or call 703-698-7117 and register. As you know, these presentations are a public service, and all of you are welcome at any time to attend. This one particularly is kind of timely, but we do have limited space. And once we're seated, and you got to make that phone call or get online today. Scott, let's get into the subject a little bit, because hip and knee pain really significantly can manifest this time of year from a lot of things. There are people, you know, skiing and snowboarding. There are people out just walking around. There's ice. There's slips and falls. People are guarded simply because it's cold outside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of this, and people put up with, unfortunately, with a plethora of many different drugs and medications actually aggravating and making things worse. So, you know, let's start with, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg, hip or knee?
Maybe the ankle.
It could be. or the foot.
When you're looking at these, you got to really look at the extremity. And when we call that extremity, we're talking about the leg, the knee, the foot. That all comes together. And what happens is especially if you look at the knee, when I was going through a lot of athletic training and my education, one of the things that they said is about 80% of all knee injuries actually come from the hip and the ankle. So when we're talking about addressing this class, it's going to be looking at all three of those points. You change an angle on something, you're going to create, it's kind of like driving a car with your wheels kind of out of alignment and you start wearing down the tires. If the alignment's not right on that knee or on that hip, then the wear down pattern comes fast. And there's a lot of things that play a part in it. It could be injuries that you've had previously, could be overweight. There is some gender bias a little bit on these things, especially on knee injuries.
Yeah, more female than male.
Yeah. And also one of the things that happens a lot, too, is also what's our balance. There's some things that can come up with concussions or things. If my balance is off, an inner ear problem, then how do I control my gait? So there's some problems there also. So there's multiple factors that play a part into how we cause injuries, not alone. I'm not even saying anything about being overweight.
Well, let's kind of put this in a perspective that it should be. When we're talking about hip and knee pain, it's not just pain that you're dealing with that you have to mask, and we're going to talk about the drugs that cause them actually to be worse over a period of time, but hip and knee pain are together are probably the leading cause of disability, period,
right,
causing osteoarthritis and degenerative change in the world, not right, just in the United States, worldwide.
And one of the things is, I think, when a lot of people come to see us, you ask the question, what's your goal? My goal is to live a healthy life, quality life, as long as a life. And I've mentioned on this show several times, and I keep referring to, I think it's a really good thing. Where do we go in the world to look at people who live the longest? Where are they? And what are they doing? And what's similar to what they do for, you know, from population? There is an overlap in what they do. And one of the key things is also, you know, eating correctly. There's certain elements. I'm talking about blue zones, Tom. And flexibility plays a big part with longevity. There's a Brazilian doctor that talks about the sit-stand type exercise where you cross your feet over. And please don't do this at home. But without having some type of protection or somebody watching you, is you cross your feet over, you go down to sit on the ground, and then come back. It's a score of 10. It's 5 points on the way down, 5 points on the way up. If you touch anything to support yourself going down, that's a point against you. And it's 5 points on the way up. And if you touch to try to support anything on your body on the way up, it's a point against you.
Now, your audience is going to tell you, Scott, that seriously, you know, you get
that
somebody.
That ain't going to happen.
That's not going to happen, right? Well, that's the piece, is that there is so much degeneration.
Right.
And it is a predictor. We see people getting tight. We see people not being able to move and function. And their life force, if you will,
gets less.
Is becoming less optimal in their bodies.
And the reason why that's important is I'm not moving my legs, things like deep vein thrombosis, all these things, circulation patterns start having a problem. I can't move as much. I can't burn as much sugar. There's some nutritional things, diabetes. There's a lot of things that kind of correlate with all these things with full free range flexibility of motion.
Well, we're talking about two really lousy things that happen to many people. And they can also lead to one of, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most profitable pieces of medicine, and it's called joint replacement.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we can touch upon, which be a whole program on its own, talking about stem cell regeneration, but that's a topic for a different day.
Yeah.
But the point of it is
that... Very expensive. Extremely
expensive. But here you are, you're getting patients into a place where the doctor says to them, well, you have osteoarthritis, you have degeneration. And just as soon as they say arthritis, they go crazy. It's like, you know, God fingered them for a life of impairment.
Right.
The problem is that there is a timeline of what got them to that place and dysfunction. So my question to you is simply this. Patient comes in, they've got degeneration, they've got hip problems, sometimes both sides, sometimes one side. And they want to know, how did this happen to me? What do you tell them?
Well, it's life and your choices that you've gone through life on those things. What kind of past injuries have you had? The one thing is when somebody comes in, and I remember this particular patient kind of raises the thought process on this. Person comes in with a knee problem, and they want to do surgery right away. They come into our office, and they find out, did they ever look at your ankle? Did you ever look at your flat foot that you had? Did you ever look at the alignment that was a problem? And there was more problem there than it was at the knee.
And that's the knee bone connected to the hip bone, connected to the back bone, connected all the way through.
So you got to look at it holistically of the whole pattern.
So, Scott, here's the situation. Patient comes in, and, you know, one of the things that it's kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek, but a doctor tells a patient, when they ask traditional physician, you know, why is this happening to me? And the doc says, well, you know, it's your age. Well, isn't the other knee the same age as the knee that's giving you trouble?
Right.
You know, so there has to be something more. It's a timeline expression, not an age expression.
Right.
Something has happened over time that causes that imbalance to take place. You know, one of the things I do with the patients, I tell them, visualize an airplane. You've flown an airplane. Airplane is designed to fly, you know, straight and level with the nose straight, the wings level, and so forth. And in doing that, the wind coming over the fuselage and the wings, evenly distributed, and there's no vibration to the plane. But if the nose pitches up just a little bit or pitches down, the wing turns just a hair, now you've got a vibrational pattern that's not okay. The same thing happens with the human body. If the person is walking in an aberrant way, too much weight forward, too much weight back, what does that mean? More than 1 or 2 degrees forward or back, side to side, then the distribution of gravity on the fuselage, the body of the person, is going to begin to break down.
Yeah. I think what you're trying to get, one of the things I'll look at, and really the four elements we're going to be talking about in regards to especially this talk, is what's your alignment? What have you done? What have you stepped on? Small little things add up over a period of time, like you're talking about. So all of a sudden now I've sprained an ankle, didn't do anything about it, didn't worry about it. Now my leg rotates a little bit more, and I do that for years on end. That's going to cause some problems over a period of time. And so alignment situations play a big part. You talked earlier about females. What happens is the female's body has actually a wider pelvis. So what happens is it changes the angle of the knee as the leg comes down to the knee. There's a little stronger angle that's there that puts more strain on the knee, just naturally. And so those athletes have a tendency, if we look at female athletes, especially in the WNBA, there's more injuries on their knees than when you look at the males. It's just basically because of what the anatomy differences are. But then there's scar tissue. And then there's just muscular imbalances. And then there's just other elements we play in on the chemical side that we haven't even talked about. Again, being, am I overweight? Am I doing things, I'm eating something that the typical SAD diet, the standard American diet, that's creating inflammatory conditions. So when you have a small little problem, it gets inflamed because of what I'm eating, causes those kind of problems and makes these things kind of worse.
Yeah, the upregulation, if you will, of these inflammatory pathways. And when we talk about inflammation, we have to talk about acid because it's the same thing.
Right, you become acidic.
And the body, the joint becomes eroded, corroded, destructive, broken down because of this inflammatory cascade and the off-centering. So now you've got this off-centering, this rub, you've got the imbalance of the muscles, and you've got this inflammation that's sitting there, and it's a recipe to sending you to the surgeon at some point.
And I think what you're looking at is the body's response to this is, oh, okay, I'm going to swell. There's breakdown. Generally, when you're dealing with arthritis, there's some swelling. The purpose of the body trying to put bone spurs in is because I'm unstable. It's trying to stabilize something. That's just, it's weak effort to try to do that. And the thing is if you can bring about stability, take the inflammatory elements out, it's amazing how some of these recoveries can be done.
You know, people don't realize, and you brought up a very, very important point, when you see, whether it's in the spinal system or in the joint spaces, you see these spurs, you see these beaks that are there.
Yeah, right.
It's the body's attempt, as you said, to try to stabilize it from getting worse.
Right.
The problem is it has its own pain pattern, it causes its own inflammatory reaction, and things, you know, begin to eat themselves, if you will, over a period of time. We're going to get into the nuances of this. And, you know, if you have pain, if your knee is hurting you right now, if your hip is hurting you right now, you're out and you're walking around and you're having to rub all kinds of stuff just to get some circulation, that's called a clue. That's telling you that you got a problem. And just don't go reach for the Tylenol, because we're going to tell you why Tylenol is deadly as the program goes on today. You know, don't just, you know, decide that you're going to take all these anti-inflammatories because they're causing other problems. They don't work after a certain period of time, and they actually make things worse.
Listen to your body.
You must, and unfortunately we don't. In studio, Dr. Scott Lamp, your presenter, your host at the Rozelle Center for Healing this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. The first lecture of the year at the Rozelle Center. As you know, these are always impactful, they're important, they're meaningful, they can, you know, give you the tools, the information that you wouldn't otherwise have, and we'll tell you how to make that happen. But call us here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. We're coming up to that time of the program. We have to take a break and pay attention to those who bring you Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Yes, we're in studio because it's cold outside. I'm not doing it from the car. Trust me. It is way too cold. Give us a call, 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lamp. We're talking about hip and knee pain. And, you know, those of you who've had any problems with hip and knee problems know, in fact, that this weather is going to bring out the worst in that presentation. You know, you're just getting, you know, trying to stay warm, you're stiff, you're tight, and it's going to make matters worse. Your gait's going to be off. You're going to be fearful of doing something worse to your body. You're going home and you're taking medications, which actually, in conjunction with this cold weather, is going to make things far worse. So Dr. Scott, you know, this is the time of the year where people really suffer a lot.
Yeah. And I think also because of the coldness, people aren't getting out. One of the key things also with the, we haven't even touched even on the element of exercise, is keeping things loose and lubricated and being flexible. A lot of times people want to stay in and sit by the fireplace or whatever, but you got to get up and move. You got to get those joints moving. And, you know, it's kind of interesting when we take a look at how much in the United States we have problems with, like, especially hips and hips being replaced. You go overseas, you go over to Asia, and the toilets over there are a little bit different than we have over here, especially when you go out to the side of the country. They literally have a hole in the ground. And one of the problems with that is that you got to be able to get down to the hole in the ground to actually do number two. And one of the problems being with that is we lose flexibility. It's interesting that the Asian culture or some of the tourist areas have to bring in American-based or American toilets to accommodate the tourist traffic coming in for that to work. And we gotta, there's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of things like Tai Chi and yoga and stuff like that we should take advantage of. Joints need to be fed, moved, and exercise to get fluids through them. And that's how you feed things. Life is about movement. And like I said, going back to those blue zones I said about, those people are moving. And they're age 90, and they're moving. Tai Chi, go down in the morning and see them in the sunrise and the sunset, and they're out there doing...
It's amazing.
It's, like, it's got kids, businessmen taking their coats off, grabbing, you know, putting their bag down, and they're moving.
That was the most profound thing, as I've talked about in the program before, when I was in Shanghai. And every morning you see hundreds of people sitting there by the river, standing there by the river, working. And, you know, every morning I was able to jump in there. I want to go to the phones, and then there's so much more I want to ask you specifically about that. 888-630-9625, that's how you find us here. Karen, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Yes, I just got an advertisement for a stem cell Maxim formula to take on a daily basis. Is there anything to that, or is that something new coming out?
Karen, in the world of stem cell, there's a tremendous amount of data that's being put out right now. Some of it, unfortunately, is erroneous, and some of it is really on target. The things that we've seen over the last several years has been utilization of stem cell. And by the way, there's going to be some spinoff on that, but utilization of stem cell injection into the joints, whether it's shoulder, hip, or knee. And there has to be you have to meet a certain set of criteria. In its economies of scale, if you will, Washington, D.C. is extremely expensive to have stem cell. There's amniotic, there's chorionic, mm-hmm. and there's other types of injections that they use preliminarily as well to try to restore function. But it can run anywhere up to $7,000-$8,000 per injection. And in some areas of the country, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of about $3,000 per injection, $3,500. Now, having said that, I've seen some remarkable changes before and after. So once it happens, the patient has to prep for the injection. They have the injection. Then they have to do rehabilitation and balancing the structure. As Dr. Scott was talking about early on, many of the degenerative conditions come from imbalance in structure. Now, talking to what you're saying, stem cell is out there in a lot of different forms trying to, you know, increase collagen formation in the body, increase cartilage formation in the body, trying to tighten the skin, stimulating the body's ability to get rid of neurological degenerations. I said there's some anecdotal information out there in Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, and they're seeing that they went in and they injected for something else, and they were seeing a resolution, at least partial resolution in some of these cases. Most stem cell work was started in Israel some years ago, then came to the United States. They're doing some research at NIH here in Washington, also up at Harvard in the East Coast. So it's in the infancy stages. There's a lot of things that are out there. We have patients that have they've had children and they've banked the umbilical cord because that's probably one of the best sources of stem cell that can be used, particularly in the family setting, to restore and regenerate tissue. So I know I'm throwing a lot of things at you. I don't know if I answered your question, but you have to be very careful. Look at the data. You know, here's the thing. They'll say in a study, sometimes the study is 10 people, and, you know, they saw two people, you know, respond very nicely. So, you know, we have to be careful. Does that help you?
Well, this is kind of like in a pill form or that you take on a daily basis.
Yeah, some of it is good, some of it isn't. It depends on whether you can break it down and assimilate it. Again, it's, you know, we're in the air today of looking at genetic patterns. Like they're called genetic SNPs. These are things where you can't metabolize things like other people can. I'll give you a very common one. There's something called an MTHFR failure. That's a person who cannot take folic acid and convert it into the active form of folate, and that happens in the liver. So you have to give them folate, and there's a cascade of things that happen because of that, anemias that occur and so forth. So do these things work? Do they have some benefit? They have some potential benefit. They're not the panacea that you would think. You have to be very careful. There's some out there that are good, but they're extremely very expensive, and you have to make sure that you're getting them from the right professional laboratories, not just, you know, buying them off the shelf.
Karen, you're talking about a supplement there. Are you talking about a supplement, Karen?
Yes, it's called Stem Cell - Maxim, and it's
I'm not familiar with those, but there's a lot of different ingredients. Remember, this is a trillion-dollar industry. You've got tons of people putting things out there. There's a lot of different things that go into some of these formulas. The stem cells we think about is when it comes to managing, it's going to be the injection form, as Tom was talking about.
Okay.
We would have to take a look at the ingredients. I'm not particularly familiar with that particular brand.
Who's the company?
Healthy Matters.
Okay.
Healthy Habits.
I'd have to look it up. It's an oddball company. I don't know a lot about
the quality. The quality of how they get their materials, it's in question. So, again, we got tons of these things that come across our desk, every year.
Karen, thank you for your call. I hope that helps a little bit. We're coming up to the break at the bottom of the hour. We're talking about hip and knee and, you know, degenerative patterns and how to reverse them. Second half, we're going to get into some specifics. But this Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott Lamp will be your host at the Rozelle Center for Healing. Join us. We'd love to have you there as our guest. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. This is the first, the newest, the best, no, the only program in the first of the year in January. And we're launching our seminar series, as we always do, every other week at the Rozelle Center for Healing. We have something cooking, so go online at rozellecare.com and check it out. Dr. Scott Lamp is your presenter this Wednesday evening, my guest in studio, and he is going to be talking about hip and knee pain, which we've been talking about in the first half of the program. We're going to continue to talk about, and the causes, the triggering mechanisms, and some of the things that you can do to make a difference. Why subject yourself to the potential of surgery, hip replacement? There's, between men and women, there's over 3 million people that are living with joint replacements. Actually, I think it's closer to 4. And so we're talking about a big industry.
Yeah, you got about $1 million a year for the knee replacements, $300,000 for the hip replacements, and it's only growing. I saw an article, they were talking about 2030, and they're looking at like 3.8 million people, 38 million people are having like hip or like knee replacements. It's going to go exponentially huge.
That's right.
Only because the population is getting older. And I think it's like getting these replacements, you know, might get you a little bit more, but the flexibility doesn't necessarily come back. And there are side effects, a lot of side effects to this, and why you should prepare yourself before. I mean, this is not necessarily a class that's always going to be for somebody who already has the problem.
You know, and if anybody,
it from happening.
If anybody ever saw knee replacement or hip replacement surgery, they probably would run as fast as they can. There's a few guys out there that do remarkable jobs, but what you have to understand, it's just rough carpentry. I mean, they're going in and they're sawing things off, they're hammering back in other pieces, and their hope that they can get the leg length it's not going to be destructive to the rest of the spine. And, you know, people wonder, well, now my back hurts, it's never hurt me before. How's your hip? Well, it's not as bad as what it was. Well, they don't have the nerve distribution to it because it got cut.
Right.
You know, there's things called side releases and front releases, and there's optimization depending on the patient and also the sex of the patient, as you talked about earlier, because of the widening of the hips and the way the upper hip called the trochanter head goes into that pelvic structure. But it's a problem. And we're going to touch upon something right now that most people aren't even talking about. Mm-hmm. Because if they did, there's going to be lawsuits that are going to come down, and they're the cost to the industry is going to be huge. If you'd like to give us a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to take your phone calls. What I'm talking about, Dr. Scott, is cell phones.
Yes.
And think about where people put cell phones. They put them in their pockets. They put them in their back pockets. They put them in and so forth. And they wonder why suddenly they're getting hip pain. And it can be simply from cell phones.
Let me read you something that was here that I was picking up, and this is off of the Mercola website. But he was talking about using X-ray technique, using the diagnosis and monitoring of patients with osteoporosis. Researchers measured pelvic bone density. That's how thick the bone is, in 150 men who regularly carried their cell phones attached to their belts. The men who carried the phones for an average of 10 hours each day and used their cell phones for an average of 6 years, the researchers found that the bone density was lowered on the side of the pelvis where their mobile phones were carried. Now, we're not even talking about how that handles certain things in genitalia.
That's right.
Because that's going to affect the testes and those kind of things. That's an interesting element. So now we're talking about, wait, I'm losing bone density, fracture.
Fracture and
in males,
and males.
Females are worse.
That's right. And you know, we always said you combine the two, but the truth of it is that, and if you want to look at the destruction of what happens with cell phones that don't have filters on them, mm-hmm. just look cancer incidents related to cell phones, breast cancer related to cell phones, hip degeneration, and hip bone cancers.
Right.
And these are things that are going to present themselves and get potentially worse over a period of time. You cannot be constantly exposed to low-volt electromagnetic fields without destruction, and we're seeing more and more problems because of it. Makes me crazy. I see somebody come in the office, and guys particularly, and they put their cell phones up against their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the women had bras where they, you know, they had pockets that they put in, and the god-awful breast tissue degeneration that occurs because of that. And, you know, if the cell phone companies admitted to that, and by the way, they're starting to say that, and there's little blocks in there that nobody reads, and, you know, all the paper that's put in your
right.
new cell phone, that these could be yada, 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 yada. It's not okay. Let's get back to hip pain. You know, we're talking about the imbalances that occur. And exponentially, muscles that don't balance properly can cause things. So if you get somebody now, Scott, that walks upstairs and they don't have the ability to push up and
right.
go up the staircase, and they're finding that they have to hold on, and they say their knee hurts and their hip hurts, and pretty soon they're on a cane and so forth, where's the triggering mechanism?
Well, but what you're talking about is when you're going up there, it's called the quad. It's a muscle in the thigh that helps you kind of move to lever your body up. And again, if you've got any scar tissue or there's some muscle imbalances, it's gotten weak, and all of a sudden now the body loves to compensate. It loves to say, well, if I can't do this, I'll put pressure on somewhere else until it can't deal with that. Then all of a sudden you start multiplying different pain patterns, and all of a sudden it's almost unbearable to deal with.
Now you got two sides.
Yeah.
And the thing that is that here's the pain. It's in the hip. It's in the pelvis. Maybe in the knees. But again, you have to look at someplace else. You have to look at where the triggering mechanism may come from.
Right.
And those muscles fire only because there's a nerve that goes to them, and that nerve can come from the back. Those muscles also have energetic platforms that are associated with them in Asian medicine, which are acupuncture channels. If that system is down, the thigh muscle, by the way, interestingly enough, in Asian medicine, has to do with the intestinal tract. It
mm-hmm.
has to do with the small gut. And if people are eating garbage, my mantra, sugar, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten additives, preservatives, GMOs, that list is getting longer these days. You know?
You gotta start doing that backwards.
Never mind. I think my grandson can do it, but I can't. And so you're causing that muscle pattern to debilitate, meaning not fire properly. And now any movement becomes aberrant, and you begin to say, well, take these two aspirin, call me in the morning, let's watch it, let's see what happens, let's do this MRI. Well, you have a little bit of degeneration, let's put a steroid injection in it, but the steroid is going to cause what? More degeneration.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of tanks on. So here's the drug of choice for most people, okay? Tylenol.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime there's an inflammatory reaction, say, take Tylenol. And the problem is that Tylenol has side effects.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about the filtration aspects, you know, there's something called kidney, whereas the kidney starts giving in because there's too much buildup on it.
And the liver.
There's something called dialysis. Yeah. And I think one of the research papers I saw one time, they said 20% of the people are that are on dialysis can be directly related to things like Tylenol.
Yep. And so when you're taking these medications for these joint spaces, you end up with problems. The other piece is that the use of Tylenol, Scott, is mm-hmm. the number one reason people are admitted to the emergency room with liver failure.
Yep.
And it just causes it to continue to break down and degenerate. It's we're causing our own iatrogenic problems and idiopathic. And, you know, the idiopathic is simply that there's an idiot out there giving things that they don't know about, but I didn't say that.
Yeah, and then you're plugging up your filters. One of the things is we talk about what is the purpose of pain. Pain's there to tell you you're not doing something right. And it takes a while for sometimes that pain to come up. But you got to think when you start the day and everything's fine, then you put stress on the system, then you get some swelling, then you got pain. And then you try to cover up the pain. You have done nothing to go after the function or the problem that started in the first place.
You know, when you're talking about knee replacement, and here's the situation. If you're replacing something into a patient, and we can even take this to hip replacement because it's probably even more common. If the joint that they're replacing is attached to a bone that is already osteoporotic, mm-hmm. then within a very short period of time, that hip, that knee is going to become unstable because the attachment is going to give way. It's going to be loose.
Failures and fractures.
And even though they're taking all these other things, and here's another cause of hip pain, particularly in women, obviously, is the osteoporotic drugs, you know, mm-hmm. that are supposed to harden the bone. Well, the reason that they harden the bone, the Bonevas, the injections and, mm-hmm. and like that is that they stop the bone from giving up the dead tissue. So the bone becomes hard. It becomes more compact, but the cells that are within it are more destructive, meaning that they can't take the shearing. So most fractures happen in a shearing manner, meaning horizontal. Mm-hmm. It makes mm-hmm. the bone more stable vertically.
Right.
But that's not where the fractures occur. So now they've increased the risk of fractures. They don't have a substance that the hip can or the knee can be put in right. in a solid way. And now we have a problem.
I think a good example of this is what happened to Haiti. And with that is they actually used concrete for their buildings. And the thing is that that's good for vertical pressure going, compressing things down. They didn't put rebar in. And that's what you're talking about. Rebar actually helps against earthquakes going across the joint.
That's right.
And that's what we're looking at. We're missing that component. And that's a really good example of what happens in real life in the construction, at least the engineering model, as it plays to the human being.
My guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lamp. He will be your host, your presenter at the Results Center for Healing this Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. Love to have you as our guest. We're very proud of our offices. As you know, we've been in there less than a year, and I think that you'll find them extremely flattering, but cutting edge. We do a lot of things that other people don't do, but here's the important piece. Part of what we do is education, and we want to make sure that we educate you so you can make your own decisions, so you know whether or not you're being duped or not, so you know whether or not you can do something differently than what it is that you're doing. And so often, you know, your problem has to be attacked from a multidimensional point of view. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott's going to talk about the structural, chemical, emotional platform as it relates to hip and knee problems and so forth. You know, you're trying to play golf, Scott, or, mm-hmm. you know, you're playing tennis, or, you know, just trying to go out for a walk, and you can't anymore because you're in such pain. And the problem is that you can't just treat the pain. You got to treat what the instability is to get the body to work again. You got to get the muscles to fire. You got to get the nutritional components solid so, you know, they actually repair something. What some people don't realize, and they take a lot of NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, right, right. Tylenol's one, acetaminophen's another, the aspirins and, you know, Motrins and Aleve and the like. Here's the problem is that those elements compete in the joint space for something called sulfate ion. Mm-hmm. A sulfate ion is what actually repairs the cartilage. And if you're taking these medications, these drugs all the time, and they're competing for that receptor, that attachment, you can't repair the joint. It actually gets worse.
It's everything in the short term. And again, a lot of these things, you look in the long term, They just don't work. And I think that's a big problem with that. One of the things I want to mention, Tom, if we have a quick minute here, is also we also have memory of something that happens to us. You know, if I put a hand on a burner, what happens? I want to pull away. And that what that does is when I pull away, I'm trying to protect myself. It's a learned response. And I go back to the burner next time, I'm going to be really careful about how I touch that burner. When we injure ourselves, we still have that memory. And there's a kind of technique that we do in the office. It's called injury recall technique. It helps you to kind of go back and reset that. This is just another thing layered on everything else that we do that sometimes can get in our way. It can make your body really, really tight. And I've had a couple of people in the offices just recently working on that technique, which is basically you get off the table like, oh, my God, I can move this.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah.
And those are things that have lingered and have been there forever, and it doesn't take a whole lot. You know,
it's very simple.
If you've ever played any kind of sports, you know, there's hip pointers and burners mm-hmm. and things like that. These are injuries, and they seem to come back every period of time. A doctor will say, well, you're going to have this problem for the rest of your life. It's going to show up when you least expect it. It's true only because there's a memory in the bone, there's a memory in the nervous system, a memory in the muscle that continues to bring it back up on the screen, if you will.
Right.
So you get to re-experience the same problem over and over again.
And it's a protection mechanism. You got to see why it's there, but sometimes the body gets overly protective. So,
you know, the first time that I was really aware of that in my right shoulder after, you know, major accident that I had a whole lot of years ago, there's a doctor by the name of Dr. Kerry McCord that practices out of St. Petersburg, Florida. And he and Dr. Wally Schmidt are two of the guys that formulated mm-hmm. the process of, if you will, releasing these injury patterns. And I was attending a meeting, and I was really having a real difficult time raising my right shoulder up. And Dr. McCord said, come here. I've known, you know, Kerry for years. He said, let me do something. I want to use a demonstration. And I said, fine, no problem. And all he did was some tapping and some reflex patterns to my neck and shoulders. And within literally 5 minutes, my arm was up. And it hadn't been for, you know, almost 2 years after that accident. I couldn't get full range of motion out of it. So when you see the memory as a reactivating, triggering mechanism that occurs, mm-hmm. there is a reason, particularly if you take when you see tissue that's broken down, when you see pathology, the pathology is there, but it continues to feed on itself if the problem is not resolved completely.
Right.
And that's what we have to do. You got to find the why. You got to find what took place. So when we're out there today and it's mm-hmm. cold and we're gingerly walking around and all of a sudden we start feeling these things, there's a neurological protective pattern that's set into place.
Yeah. And I think, again, we go back to the mantra of our office, structure, chemistry, emotion. All three of those in play. We've kind of touched on that a little bit on the chemical side. There's a lot of chemical things. The structural, you know, obviously that makes sense. It's the emotional side we don't understand. We haven't even talked about the elements of what happens with the stress mechanism and how much the adrenals play a part and how much that helps with healing. And if they're exhausted because you're stressed because of the things of life, a lot of times that's going to affect your healing too as well.
Here's an oddball when it comes to the hip and knee mechanism. You know, we talked about the emotional side. I'm just going to, just as an FYI for our listeners, mm-hmm. and they're going to say, what? Well, how can that be? Every muscle has an organ system that it responds to,
right.
connected by the nervous system, brain, spinal cord. You got 31 pairs of nerves. The nerves come off. They divide. One branch goes to muscle. One branch goes to the organ. Now, these organ systems and these muscles, because they're tied together from Asian medicine, also have emotions that are linked to it.
Mm-hmm.
The quadricep muscle, that big thigh muscle, believe it or not, relates to the heart and small intestine. So if the small intestine is triggering, by virtue of the fact that you have a quad or a thigh muscle problem, often in traditional Chinese medicine, they're going to look at the heart mm-hmm. and see if there's a problem. The iliotibial band, the tensor fasciae out on the side of the leg, relates to the colon.
Mm-hmm.
The colon relates to lung. Mm-hmm. And you can have either one affecting the other pieces. So you must look at both of those pieces if you're ever going to get a resolution, if you're ever going to get anything fixed.
Yep.
It's, it's what we get locked in traditional medicine in an allopathic, you know, compartmentalization, if you will.
Yeah, we got to get from narrow-minded to open-mindedness.
And to fix anything, particularly when we're dealing with hip and knee problems, as you're going to get very in-depth in this Wednesday evening. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great class. It really is. It's one that it can make a difference for you almost immediately. Give the office a call at 703-698-7117 and tell them that you'd like to register, or go online at RoselleCare.com and push the tab that says register here and make it done. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live, as you do every Sunday at 12 noon from this point on until Redskins start again next year. Anyway, 12 o'clock. If you're on the Eastern Seaboard, it's at high noon. If you're on the West Coast, as many of you are, well, 3 hours different. You know where you are, and we'd like to thank many of you who listen to Armed Forces Radio. Somehow we're getting plugged into you as well. We thank you for your service. We appreciate all the things that you do for us. 888-630-9625 is how you find us here when we're on the air, and how you find us when we're not here is go to rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. Register for Dr. Scott Lamp's program this Wednesday evening on hip and knee pain. Dr. Scott's going to get into not only the why, but how you can get rid of these problems. You know, if they haven't gone to the place of full degenerative disease where you can't function anymore, there's a way of reversing many of these things, and there's ways of stopping the progression. You owe it to yourself to get off these medications and looking at the potential of, you know, something that's not reversible. And remember my axiom, once you're cut. You can't reverse that piece of it. And as good as some people think that replacement parts are, they have their side effects, as Dr. Scott talked about early on. So we'd love to have you there. Reserve your seat today. Go online, rozellecare.com. Take a look around that site, by the way, and you'll find out all of the online and the other educational programs that we have available for you. We're here to serve you. Dr. Scott, let's talk a little bit about the program on Wednesday evening. And what are you going to get into? What are you going to talk about? Why should somebody show up?
I think it's both good for young and older, especially if you're looking to try to stay away from getting the surgical component. We're going to look at all the three elements, like structure, chemistry, emotion. Again, looking at scar tissue, we're looking at alignment. We're going to look at muscular balance. How can you test for those? How you can see those? Also balance. There might be some other balance type things. There's some dimensions out there that can put us at risk for falls. Also for young people too, there's something I call tech neck. They're doing things right now with new technologies that we're playing some major problems with our bodies. You take a look at these kids. They're bending their head forward in deflection, and about 60 degrees of flexion of forward puts about 60 pounds of pressure on the back of their neck. And also they hyperextend their knees at the same time. And are they creating more and more of these problems before they get older? So that time frame that we can stay flexible can become less and less by things that we do. So education is power, and that's what this is going to be all about, is the power of that.
You know, the interesting thing, you talked about stress on a joint space, and one thing that we've kind of harped on our patients about over a period of time, if you got this, you know, this overeducated waistline, if you will, that shouldn't be there, and so in many cases it's bigger than your chest line. Please understand something, that for every pound of weight that you have on your stomach, you have 4 pounds of weight on your knees. So when you times that weight times four, that's the pressure that you have. Now, if you're out of shape and that's hanging there like an abnormal pendulous effect, you know, you have a problem situation. Let's go to the phones. We'll take one more. We're coming up. We don't have a lot of time, but let's do it. Bob?
Yes, I've discovered how to relieve a severe sore throat. A little while ago, I had a terrible sore throat so bad I had to grip something before I swallowed. It felt like I was stabbed. And all you do is take a light bulb and press it against your throat, and it works instantly.
Appreciate it, Bob. Thanks. What you're doing is you're increasing the heat and, you know, low levels of radiation into the throat area. But I'll tell you what, for sore throats, there's nothing better than Manuka honey. Just, you know, get the strongest form of it, take a little teaspoon of it and put it in your back, and sea salt and gargle with it. Scott, you got a great class coming up this Wednesday evening, and you're going to talk about how these things get fixed, I'm sure.
Certainly will. We'll see you there.
We'll see you there. It's going to be a good night. We'll be hanging around if there's any questions that any of you have. More than happy to handle them, bring them all with you, and, you know, as always, the reason that we do this, the reason that we do Rozell Center for Healing the way we do it, is to educate and to help you in any possible way that we can. We're coming up to the break. We'll see you next week. Love you all. Bye.